This is really a way for us to show how accurate the clocks are that we're building. So we're building atomic clocks at NIST because NIST helps maintain the official U.S. time. So we always want to, you know, build more accurate clocks for that. And these new, more accurate clocks, they can measure these real tiny effects of relativity. And so we're hoping that in the future, that can be used actually as a way to measure, for example, heights on the Earth at just a few inches.
How does this help you make sure that the clocks are measuring time accurately?
So it's just kind of a test experiment. You know, when you build these clocks, you want to make sure that they're working, and you would just sort of see that you can measure the effects you expect to measure. And one of these effects is the relativistic shift, where if the clock is a little bit higher, time runs a bit faster. So it's just a verification, but it also points to some future applications. So that's why we were pretty excited about doing this basically demonstration experiment. I should mention that before we did this test, we were comparing clocks, and we saw that they were a little bit different. And we thought, oh, well, because they were in different laboratories, we hadn't measured the height exactly between them. We thought it was about the same, but it was different by about 6 inches. And so once we took that effect into account, then we saw that the clocks, that they agree, basically. So it's one of the shifts that you have to account for when you build these clocks, you know, that would make it slightly run at a different rate.
Now, why would you need to have such super precise clocks?
I wouldn't say that you need it, you know, but I think it can be real useful in the future. And for a long time, people have thought that clocks could help measure, for example, the shape of the Earth better. There are currently satellites that orbit the Earth that try to detect slight changes in that shape. And with the clock, you can basically do the same thing because it is sensitive to height, as we demonstrated. So if you have a continental plate, you know, that's on the crust of the Earth, and if that's rising or falling a little bit, that would shift the rate of your clock as well. And we would hope to be able to measure that in the future.
How is this different from other research that's been done on the passage of time?
I think it's sort of continuing in a long line of research because, you know, people have been building clocks for thousands of years, starting with sundials and then pendulum clocks and such, and later quartz clocks and atomic clocks. And now this is a new type of atomic clock based on the vibrations of light, basically. So atoms and light are vibrating synchronously, and we are using that effect to split time into even tinier pieces than could be done before and build more accurate clocks that way.
And let's talk about one of the things you discovered is time moving more slowly at faster speeds. I don't know how to explain that. Could you explain it?
So that's another consequence of Einstein's theory of relativity, so that time and motion are really linked. And you can't, you can only discuss time in the context of motion or if you are not moving and things like that. And so there's the famous twin paradox, where if you have a twin and, you know, you're the same age, and your twin takes a rocket ship and he flies to some hypothetical planet at almost the speed of light, and then when he comes back, he's younger than you. So that's this twin paradox in relativity, which is sort of hard to believe, but it's, you know, relativity has been well tested. So scientists sort of take that for granted now. And we've seen that same effect, but you don't have to move at the speed of light to see it. You would just move at a few miles per hour, and you would still see this effect. But, of course, it's very tiny, so you would not notice it as really a difference in aging, but it is there if you look at time as sort of a billionth or a trillionth of a second.
when you are able to do these experiments and fiddle with time in that way, how far are we able to take this and theoretically extrapolating it out, how far could we take it?
You know, clocks are, they're always getting more accurate and splitting time into smaller pieces, and I don't really see that stopping. It seems like, you know, something humans are interested in a real basic way, because time is so pervasive in our lives and in technology as well. So I think it'll get better, and I'm sure people will think of new ways to build even more accurate clocks in the future. It's really exciting research to take some of these pretty exotic effects in physics, which, you know, people thought, well, that's clever and such, but it wasn't. It's never real obvious what you can do with them, but then you can actually use it to build better clocks and advance technology that way.